Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we bring you a new podcast every single Wednesday right around noon Mountain Standard Time and bring you just a little bit different of a spin on the world of sports. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, you can head over to places like Stitcher or pretty much anywhere that podcasts are hosted, or you can go over to our website. Check out dailydosesports.wordpress.com, and we post a link to the podcast there every single week, as well as an article or two that you might want to check out. An article went up this week about the Golden State Warriors that I think you might enjoy. You can also follow us on Twitter, or you can like us on Facebook. Both of those handles on Facebook and Twitter are at Daily Dose Sports, D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, going to talk a little bit of NBA. You know, the trade deadline was last Thursday, and we have a few winners and losers that I want to get to. Also, did you see that ESPN released its top 100 players of all time? Top 100 NBA players of all time. We talked a little bit about this before. They kind of released players by position. You know, who's the best point guard? Who's the best shooting guard? ESPN has now compiled their list of their 100 greatest NBA players of all time. And as usual, that organization can't get anything right. So we'll talk a little bit about that. The NFL Combine started yesterday. I have a few thoughts on the NFL Combine. And, you know, we haven't done it in a while, but today I am going to read a few of your emails. We do get some emails here every once in a while at the Daily Dose, and I've got to get to a few of them. You know, sometimes I'll kind of save them. Sometimes I'll kind of hold them for a week or so, and I'll respond to you right away on email. Sometimes we got to bring out the mailbag and read some of those emails. Plus, as we always do, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, always a popular segment on the show. You want to make sure that you stick around for that. Few things coming out in the world of sports. Although All-Star forward Chris Bosh and the Miami Heat kind of are keeping things quiet about whatever is going on with his medical condition that has sidelined him now for 2 weeks. Teammates are saying that Bosh is still being active. He gets on the court. He's getting some shots up. He's still involved with the team. You remember he was having that situation with blood clots, and they had traveled to his lungs last year. It makes me worry. Makes me worry what's going on with him now. You know, it sounds like they might be getting him on thinners again, blood thinners again, and you're not going to be able to play at that level. That could be a career ender. I hope for what's best for Chris Bosh. And I know Chris Bosh, back when LeBron was with the Heat, he kind of became that guy that he was kind of annoying. He was always screaming. He'd make a layup and scream, whatever he did. He seems like a pretty decent guy, though. It's kind of tough to watch this. You hope Chris Bosh is okay and that he's still going to be able to play. Came out yesterday that the San Francisco 49ers say that Colin Kaepernick is going to be on the team's roster and that his salary for 2016 is going to be fully guaranteed. There was talk that maybe they would release him, that maybe they would let Kaepernick go and he could, you know, sign with someone else, make him a free agent. They are saying they're going to stick with him. Makes me think that head coach Chip Kelly at least has some sort of plan for Colin Kaepernick. You know, he needs someone to work with him. He needs someone to teach him how to be a quarterback, because we've seen in the last 2-3 seasons him just regress and regress and get worse and worse and worse, and he doesn't even look like a quarterback anymore. It sounds like maybe the Niners are going to work with him. You hope that would be the case. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers blew out the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday without Kyrie Irving, who left the game with flu-like symptoms. At least that's what we were told. We were told there were flu-like symptoms. It turns out that later, Kyrie Irving announced that he had been up all night because his hotel room in Oklahoma City had bed bugs in it. Now, the Oklahoma City Hilton that the Cavs stayed at, there are rumors surrounding this hotel already that it might be haunted or there might be something going on. They said that there was, I don't know, the owner locked a girl in a room with a baby and she did whatever. And so people say that there's rumors that you hear the baby crying, whatever. That's kind of the rumor about this hotel. But Irving said that this wasn't ghosts. He says he woke up and saw 5 large bed bugs on his bed. Now, a couple problems with this. One, so Irving didn't play. He didn't play in a very, very big game. for bugs? Really? You got a mosquito bite? Yeah. I get it. I understand what you're saying. And having your sleep interrupted or whatever, I feel it. But really, you couldn't play because of that. Second, you saw the bed bugs? From what I understand, I've never had bed bugs. I've never had that situation. I don't think you can see bed bugs. Can you? Aren't they like really, really tiny little things that you can't see? It's not like you're sitting there looking at them, you know, eye to eye. Really? Who's afraid of the big bad bed bugs? It sounds like a Scooby-Doo episode. I don't know. But here's the most interesting part of it. Well, for one, I think, you know, Kevin Love actually got more playing time with Irving out. So maybe he is going to carry bed bugs with him and always put them in Irving's bed. But Kyrie Irving uttered the phrase that I don't know if we've ever heard before or since. He said, and I quote, "I just can't wait to get back to Cleveland." I don't know if anyone's ever said that before. Good for him. Good for him. Tiger Woods has not played golf, they are saying, since last August. Last August. And over the weekend, there were some tweets that came out from someone named Secret Tour Pro. Now, we don't know who this really is, but that's what they're titled on Twitter. And what they said on their tweets is that Woods can't drive, he can't climb stairs, and he spends most all of his time laying down because his back is so bad. Now, Tiger's agent, Mark Steinberg, comes out on Monday and says those tweets are absolutely false. Tiger continues to work on his rehabilitation, and we will have an accurate update at the appropriate time. Okay. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I don't know who sent out these tweets. I have no idea who sent out these tweets. But I know this. I know that you can't hide if he's hurt. Because, see, the Players' Championship is coming up in like a few weeks. I mean, that's in like May. We're gonna know. Like, we're gonna be able to see. You can sit here and act like, well, we're not really sure. We'll let you know how he's doing, and he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. No, the clock is ticking. We're going to see if Tiger can play or if Tiger can't play really, really soon. Because all these tournaments and stuff are coming up. Is he even capable of getting out there and swinging clubs? I've said this for a long time. I think Tiger's done. I'm hoping he's not done, but I think Tiger's done because the human body doesn't get better with age. I don't know why we always think that. We always think of it in terms of recharging batteries. Oh, well, you take him out and then he'll be back to how he was when he was 25. No, he won't. He'll never be back to that, ever. Okay, we got to jump in because we got a lot of things to get to. The NFL is over, but the NFL Combine started yesterday. And, you know, we have a lot of teams that are starting to make some moves within the league. We have a lot of NFL teams that are starting. We've seen a couple guys retire. Panthers defensive end Jared Allen retired. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is Jared Allen a Hall of Famer? I don't think he is. I mean, who knows? I didn't think Kevin Green was, and he just got in. Steelers tight end, Heath Miller, retired. So we have that. And there are just a bunch of rumors floating around as, you know, these guys that are going to get cut. The Saints are talking about maybe cutting Marcus Colston. Washington looks like they're going to cut Robert Griffin III. You know, the Rams did cut Chris Long, James Laurinaitis. You know, we're starting to see the... And here's why we're seeing all these cuts. Because these teams have to clear up space to sign free agents. And here's the problem. A lot of these players have bonus money kicking in like on March 9th. So if they aren't cut before then, they're going to owe them money. You might think, well, bonus money, who cares? It might be up to $3-4 million. So they've got to cut them now to save some more of that money. They've got to get rid of them. So I'm telling you right now, you're going to hear more cuts coming, and you're going to hear some big names. Don't be surprised to hear like Pierre Garçon gets cut, or like Arian Foster gets cut, or Darren Sproles get cut. The Bills may cut Mario Williams. It's probably coming. Most likely, it is coming. Now, the NFL Combine is going, and if you don't know what the NFL Combine is, it's basically a cattle call. And what they do is they bring all these college prospects in that are looking to get drafted. They measure them. They weigh them. They poke them. They prod them. They run them through drills that really are like totally meaningless. Like they have them run the 40-yard dash. I don't know what good the 40-yard dash does. It doesn't really do anything. Tell me when you run a 40-yard dash. Who runs 40-yard dashes? In football, when is a 40-yard dash really used? Especially, you know, they have offensive linemen, they have quarterbacks. When are they running 40-yard dashes? That's totally useless. So they'll have them run like 40-yard dash. I don't know, they'll have them like swim through like shark-infested waters. They have them box a kangaroo. I don't know. They have them do some, you know, some nonsense. And then, you know, these drills that are totally relatable to their job. And then, you know, they'll do an interview portion. They'll do like an interview. And now, you know, you're like, if you're in corporate America, you've had these interviews, or maybe you're just interviewing at McDonald's. I don't know. But you've had these interviews where you get, you know, some of those dumb questions that they ask you. Like, they'll ask you some, like, are you a cat person or a dog person? What, really? What in the world does this have to do with me working at this telephone company? I mean, there's some weird stuff. I'll tell you a personal story for me. I was interviewing once for a job, and I was asked, like we're going through the interview, and they tell me about yourself, and what have you done, and where do you see yourself, and all the standard nonsense questions. And then this guy asks me, so how much office supplies, like usually, like in the way of office supplies, how many office supplies would you say that you steal? And he tried to like make it casual like that. Like he's just dropping it in conversation. Like we're just boys. Oh yeah. How much office supplies do you usually steal? And I go like, what? And he's like, yeah, like, you know, like let's say we hire you on average. How many office supplies would you say that you usually steal? And I go, like, what do you mean? I don't know if I talked to you. Well, no big deal. Like, you know how we all take pens or we all take notebooks or whatever. How much of those kinds of office supplies would you say that you usually steal from the jobs that you've been at? I'm like, I don't steal office supplies. No. Look, I'm not saying you're a bad person, but we all steal office supplies. I know that you steal office supplies. Everybody does. How much do you usually take? Like, do you take like a lot of pens? Are you taking a lot of paper? What is it that you usually take? Now, at this point, I'm kind of getting aggravated. Like, I'm like, seriously? I go, I really don't steal office supplies. He goes, look, I know you do steal office supplies. I'm very aware that you do. Everybody does. I mean, it's pretty common. So I know that you do. And I noticed that you're chewing gum. Am I making you a little bit nervous by asking you how much office supplies you steal? So he goes, you know, nervous people chew gum. So I spit my gum. He has a trash can over in the corner. I spit my gum from the chair I'm sitting in across the room into the trash can. I don't steal office supplies. And now he's aggravated that I did this. And he says, look, I think, you know, we're done here. Like this interview is finished. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think we are, because here you are accusing me of doing so. I mean, is this really the path that this company takes? You're just going to accuse me of stealing office supplies? That was the whole thing. And so we got up and left, and I stole his whiteout as I walked out the door. Now the NFL. They kind of ask these same stupid questions like that. And they try to be clever, and they try to see if they can catch you on stuff. Now, this past week, former Jacksonville Jaguar and Detroit Lions defensive end Austin Lane, he actually tweeted out some of the questions that he was asked at the NFL Combine. And you have to hear some of these. Here are some of the questions he was asked at the NFL Combine. If you could kill someone and not get caught, would you do it? Well, is my name Aaron Hernandez? I don't know. Do you find your mother attractive? I'm not making this up. You can go look up Austin Lane's profile. These are the questions he was asked. I see you have dreads. You smoke weed, don't you? Really? This is what, like, some of the most powerful organizations, the NFL, these are the questions these guys came up with? If you had to murder someone, would you use a gun or a knife? Well, clearly, I would use a knife made out of ice that would melt and then go away, and then the murder weapon couldn't be found. I mean, boxers or briefs? I'm not even kidding. And I understand the need to interview these players. I understand the need for the combine. I think what we've turned the combine into is kind of gotten into some really stupid things. But I do understand it. I want to make sure you are who you say you are. I want to make sure that you really are 6'3 when you say you are instead of 5'8. I get that. I want to make sure you're healthy. I want to make sure that the injury that you had in high school really has healed, and I'm not drafting a guy that has a trick knee or something that you're never going to be able to play. So I understand this. And I do. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to see what kind of person you are. I want to see how bad you want to excel at your craft. But after that, we're kind of just wasting our time, aren't we? Can you run? Can you jump, I guess? I don't know. Can you catch a ball? If I can't figure that stuff out by your college film, I don't know if I'm ever going to figure it out now. Like, I don't know what I'm going to see in the combine that I'm like, man, I never saw that. He really can play. Just seems like the combine's kind of getting to a point where we're wasting our time. Here's a brief story. You know, Baltimore Ravens, when they had Brian Billick at the combine, they have these guys come in and, you know, you might ask them, do you use drugs? Are you a marijuana user? Anything like that. And they say that Brian Billick was relaying this story, and Billick says that it was the end of the day. He had been interviewing guys all day long, and he was tired of asking them, you know, are you going to get busted for drugs? Because, like, this is your biggest job interview. You know when you have that big job interview and you know they're going to be testing you, and you're like, hey, I better not smoke anything here because I've got job interviews coming up. Now, think about this. There's the biggest job interview of these guys' lives. Like, this is whether you get paid millions of dollars or you don't. And so many of them still can't stop smoking weed or whatever it is that they do that they get popped for drugs. Brian Billick said he's interviewing all these guys. He finally gets to the last interview of the day, and he just said, you know what? I'm tired of asking. He just said, are you stupid? And the guy goes, I don't know what you mean. Are you so stupid that you're going to smoke weed right before this interview? And the guy says, well, no. And he said, okay, then I'm going to draft you. And it's that simple. Sometimes can you just have enough sense? And those are the basic questions that I need to ask. How hard are you going to work? Are you going to come in here and actually do what we expect you to do? I could get that stuff done in like 2 hours. They've drawn this combine into this week-long thing. All right. You know we're going to be talking more NFL because it's just your round now. But let's move on. The NBA. NBA trade deadline was last week. And as usual, very, very similar to a fight in the NBA. It was a lot of talking and actually not very much action. But we do have a few winners and losers from, you know, what little action that we actually did have. I'm going to give you a few winners and losers from the NBA trade deadline. First off, winner. I'm going to give winner to the Detroit Pistons. They got rid of Brandon Jennings. They ship him off to Orlando. Brandon Jennings was going to be a free agent anyway, so they were probably going to lose him anyways. And it didn't sound like he was a very good fit for that system. They get back Tobias Harris. He gives them some size. He gives them a little bit of strength down in the front court. So, yeah, okay, we'll give the Pistons a little bit of winner. I like what Stan Van Gundy's doing up there. I really do. I think he is building something in Detroit. We know what he has done, you know, in Orlando and that kind of thing. Detroit is eventually going to be at least scrappy. One of my losers has got to be the Memphis Grizzlies. Marc Gasol is gone for the season with an injury now. But then they trade Jeff Green to the Clippers for Lance Stephenson. I want you to think about this for a second. The Memphis Grizzlies now have Tony Allen, a little bit crazy. Mario Chalmers, a little bit delusional. Z-Bo, pretty good player, but also a little bit crazy. Birdman, completely crazy. Vince Carter, a little bit of an ego. And now they have blows in your ear Lance. I mean, you've got a mess going in Memphis. Memphis is, that is a rough, rough group. I don't know how you get anything out of that team. That is just a collection of goofballs that has been assembled. I don't like what Memphis is doing right now. Winner, got to be Channing Frye. Channing Frye goes from 24-30, 11th place in the East, Orlando, to 40-15, first place, Cleveland. He gets traded over to Cleveland. He's got to be waking up going, this is my lucky day. Channing Frye, you go from horrible Orlando to Cleveland. You're probably going to the NBA Finals this year. Good morning to you. Very nice. Channing Frye, definitely a winner. Loser, I got to put Cleveland there just for this. They get Channing Frye. And I know what you're going to hear. You're going to hear about how he can space the floor with his outside shooting, and he can. He's a big guy. He can space the floor. That's going to allow some lanes for guys like LeBron to get to the basket. It's going to allow for some of their big men, Tristan Thompson and that kind of thing, to get, you know, points in the paint. So I understand that. here's one thing they're not going to mention. They're not going to mention that Channing Frye is an absolute liability on defense and that he is so terrible that late in the game, you can't put him on the floor because he's guaranteed to give up a layup. They're not going to talk about that. So, yes, he gives you a little bit offensively, but defensively, and now I want you to think about this, who will Cleveland be facing in the finals? Maybe a Golden State? Maybe a San Antonio? I got news for you. They're going to need to be able to play some defense. And that's what Channing Frye doesn't bring to your floor. Winner. I'm going to give Golden State and San Antonio winners on this. And I'll tell you why. Because no other teams, especially in the West, really made any moves worth talking about. Which basically means these two are still the big dogs. Who's going to challenge them? Oklahoma City? I think Oklahoma City is still going to be scrappy. The only move they made was they got shooter Randy Foy from the Denver Nuggets. And last I checked, Randy Foy doesn't play any defense, and the Thunder can already score. They don't need more scoring. They can't stop anyone. Randy Foy doesn't play defense. So I don't know if that's the greatest pickup to help them go to that next level. Who else? The Clippers? I mean, the Clippers aren't even sure what to do with their best player. They don't even know if they want to bring back Blake Griffin because they seem to actually be playing pretty well without him. So I think Golden State and San Antonio kind of come out of the trade deadline as winners because no one else did anything. They're still the best teams in it. Losers. I'm going to give two teams a loser here. The Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics. Here's the thing. Both of these teams could be contenders in the East because the East doesn't have anything. And I like what they both do, but neither one of them made a move. And while I like the chemistry of Toronto and Boston, I really do. And you don't want to, you know, run that risk of ruining their chemistry. But here's the thing. The Atlanta Hawks were looking to move Al Horford. And he's a solid locker room guy. He's not a guy that's going to come in and be a disruption. And both Toronto and Boston could have used some front court help. But they both stood pat. No, we're good enough. Now, here's the problem. You're probably not good enough. We can probably just give the East to Cleveland now because there's no competition. I don't think they can compete with Cleveland. So while Channing Frye doesn't transform them into the 96 Bulls, they're still better than everyone else on the Eastern side. Don't like what Toronto and Boston did at the trade deadline because they didn't do anything. ESPN. You know, we talked a little bit a few weeks ago about ESPN ranking the players by position in the NBA of all time. Now, they have released their full top 100. And as usual, ESPN tries to be like cute, and they end up just making no sense whatsoever. Like, I look at this list, it makes me seriously scratch my head. I can't figure out what in the world they are thinking here, because it's so bizarre. Let me read down some of these names on here, and you tell me where if these fit. Here is the top. I'll read down the top 20 or 25 or so. Michael Jordan at 1. Okay. I mean, I can live with that. I can make some arguments for or against that. I'm okay with MJ at 1. Kareem at 2. You could make a case for Kareem to be 1. Because Kareem did completely change the game. I know Michael changed the game a little bit with the Jordan rules and bringing in that era of defensive basketball. But Kareem completely changed the game. Remember, they banned the dunk and everything for Kareem. Kareem, I think, single-handedly showed Wilt Chamberlain the game is changing and you can't keep up with it. Kareem completely changed the game. So I could put Kareem at 1, I'll be honest. But I'm okay with him at 2. 3, LeBron James. Wait, what? LeBron James is 3? Okay, I'm going to keep moving. 4, Magic Johnson. Okay, now you're just being silly. LeBron has 2 rings. Magic has 5. Get out of here with this nonsense. Wilt Chamberlain is number 5. Larry Bird is number 6. Gotta go back. Bird is behind LeBron. Bird has 3 rings. Magic has 5 rings. LeBron has 2 rings. And they're both behind in a worse league. Okay. I'm gonna move forward. Wilt's at 5. Bird's at 6. Bill Russell's at 7. Wait a second. Bill Russell has more rings than fingers, and he always beat Wilt. How is he behind Wilt Chamberlain? Idiots. ESPN, honest to God, they have... Tim Duncan is 8. Shaquille O'Neal is 9. Hakeem Olajuwon is 10. Oscar Robertson, 11. Kobe Bryant, 12. Jerry West, 13. Dr. J, Julius Erving at 14. Moses Malone at 15. Dr. J could be higher on this list for me. Dr. J could be ahead of Kobe for me. Maybe ahead of Oscar for me. I think the problem that we have with Dr. J is so much of his prime time playing was being played in the ABA and people weren't seeing it. Because if you go back and you look at those ABA tapes, Doc was doing things no one had seen before. You want to talk about guys changing the game, Doc was playing at a whole different level. Moses Malone at 15, Karl Malone, 16, Dirk Nowitzki, 17, Charles Barkley, 18. Wait a second. Charles Barkley behind Karl Malone and Dirk Nowitzki, I struggle with that. Here's the thing about Charles Barkley, and I know when you look at him now, you look at Charles Barkley, and you say he's a windbag and he talks nonsense. I still think he's funny, but he's a goofball. People forget how good Charles Barkley was. When Charles Barkley was in his prime, you couldn't guard him. I know people kind of lose track of that. You couldn't guard him. He could do literally whatever he wanted. He could shoot from outside. He could drive inside. He could beat up your big man. He could out-rebound you. You couldn't guard him. And I know the knock on Chuck is that, well, he wasn't a good defender. I got news for you. You absolutely couldn't defend him either. Charles Barkley is probably a better player than he gets credit for. John Stockton at 19. David Robinson at 20. Kevin Garnett at 21. Kevin Durant at 22. Kevin Durant at 22. What has he done? I like KD. You are in this list. I don't know if I have Kevin Durant in the top 50. And I like Kevin Durant. You're not top 50. 23, Steph Curry. 24, Elgin Baylor. 25, Scottie Pippen. Hang on. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are ahead of Elgin Baylor and Scottie Pippen? Scottie Pippen can shut both of those guys down. That's a joke. That is absolute insanity. Isaiah Thomas at 26. They have Steph Curry ahead of Isaiah Thomas. Now, I like Steph Curry. I'm a fan of Steph Curry. I've talked about that in the past. But you can't sit here and say, if his career ends right now, Steph Curry's already better than Isaiah Thomas. You're not even in the same ballpark. Isaiah Thomas carried a horrible franchise and made them a two-time world champion. Really? I like what Steph's done, but I can't put his body of work up against Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah is underrated every time. And I personally, there was a time, I'll tell a brief story. I was playing in a game before a Denver Nuggets versus Detroit Pistons game, and their game ends, and Isaiah Thomas comes walking down the hall toward me, and I lean out, hey, Isaiah, can you sign this? Zeke, you know, sign this for me. And he's like, nope, and he puts his hand up, and he walks right by me. I have beef with Isaiah. I was an Isaiah fan my whole life. That kind of annoyed me. Having said that, Isaiah Thomas is one of the greatest point guards to ever play the game. I can't put Kevin Durant 1-0, Steph Curry 1-something, one season, one time above guys like Scottie Pippen and Isaiah. Who's making this list? Are they 17? Is this the ESPN interns making this list? This is stupid. Dwayne Wade, 27. John Havlicek, 28. Seriously? John Havlicek is one of the greatest ever. Chris Paul, 29. Steve Nash, 30. Now, wait a second. You have Steph Curry won one championship, won one MVP at 23. Steve Nash won two MVPs. Isaiah won two championships. None of this makes any sense. ESPN, as usual, can't ever get anything right. They have to screw it up. They're like the NCAA or something. Just never makes any sense. They must have their interns filling this out. I don't understand that. Okay, we got to move forward. We got to move on because the ESPN, as usual, is stupid, and we've got to get to our mailbag. You know, we don't break it out very often. We used to break it out every Monday. Back in the old days, the Daily Dose radio show, we would break out our mailbag. A couple of people would send in some emails, send in some tweets, whatever it might be. You want to hit us on Facebook, whatever. We would be glad to you know, read your comment. And if you don't want your name read, I'm fine with that. If you want to say, please put me as anonymous or whatever, I get that. Anonymous mailbag, nothing better. We've had people write in for dating advice. We've had people writing for career advice. We've had a number of different things. I enjoy hearing from you all. If you have a question, a comment, whatever, I would enjoy hearing from you. Feel free. We've had people even ask advice about playing basketball. I play for this team. What should I do? Whatever. If you got a question, you got a comment, please send it to us. You can send your emails to dailydosesports@gmail.com. Here are some of the emails that I have received recently. Like I said, I'll always respond to you. May or may not get read on the air. Clint, love the show. What is Peyton Manning going to do? Is he done? And why didn't he retire immediately after the Super Bowl? That is from Gloria M, and it just says Illinois. What is Peyton Manning going to do? I think Peyton Manning's going to retire. Because here's the one thing about Peyton Manning. I think that he, if nothing else, he's a very intelligent person. I don't think there's any way that he looks at this last season and says, I still got some left in the tank. I think he has to know he doesn't have anything left in the tank. We could see his body has broken down on him. I think mentally he's still there. I think mentally he's still sharp. I think physically he is incapable of playing at a very high level. He is incapable, you know, they talk about guys can make all the throws. He's incapable of making all the throws. He just is. He just can't do it anymore. So I think that he's done. Why didn't he retire immediately after the Super Bowl? Because quite frankly, I don't think Peyton Manning is that guy. I don't think he's the guy that says, I'm going to make this about myself. I think he says, okay, let's celebrate. Let's take a month. Let's take some time. And I do think he probably wants to take some time and see how he feels. But I don't see any way that he's going to be able to say, yeah, I'm ready to do the whole grind again. I'm ready for another 19 games or whatever it is. I can't see it. I think Peyton's going to retire. I think he's going to announce it probably in early March. And I think he's done. I don't see any way he plays for the Broncos. He costs too much money. He's due to be a $19 million cap hit or something this year for the Denver Broncos. So I don't think there's any way, that he's going to be in Denver. And why would you go play for like the Rams or the Saints or whatever, you know, these rumors they're talking about? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I think Peyton Manning is probably going to give it up. We should see, because I believe by March, 10th, 15th, somewhere in there, I think if you're going to retire, you have to let your team know. So we'll find out here very soon. Thank you for the question though. Next one up, Daily Dose. Good podcast. Last week, you and John talked about the biggest disappointments in the NBA, but you made no mention of my Chicago Bulls. What gives? They are now a number 8 seed. And that is from, Don. Don in Connecticut. Don in Connecticut wants to know, why are you in Connecticut and cheering for the Bulls? Whatever. Yeah, the Bulls have been horrible. The Bulls right now are sitting at 29 and 26. They are the 8 seed in the East. And they're only like 2 games ahead of the Pistons at the 9th spot. So the Bulls could fall out. We were hoping that the Bulls were going to be, Bulls fans were hoping they were going to be a contender in the East. That has not gone the way it was supposed to. And I think the biggest thing that I take away from this season with Chicago is looking at how good of a coach Tom Thibodeau was. He was doing some incredible things with that group, because this is that same group of players. I know Joakim Noah's banged up, and I know they've had some injuries and stuff. How much was he getting out of that group, though? I think, if anything, teams that are looking for a coach have to be looking at Thibodeau and saying, that's the guy we want, because he was getting a lot out of not much. Fred Hoiberg has not gotten that same thing, and I'm starting to get the feeling that the Chicago Bulls are getting ready to completely rebuild. It just has that look. We're going to crush this. We're going to start over. We're going to take a couple of key components, maybe a Jimmy Butler or something like that, and we're going to build around them. But other than that, we're going to just start over from scratch. Yeah, I agree with you. We that's one I missed. I probably should have the Bulls on that list of biggest disappointments, and I kind of missed that one. So I appreciate you sending that in, Don. Thank you. Next up, Clint. You said Lakers, not Clippers, Giants, not Jets, or a million other different mistakes. I get a bunch of big comments that, hey, you misspoke. You said, this team instead of this team, or you said this guy instead. Here's the thing. We do the podcast, and we kind of do it like we did the old radio show. it's kind of live. Like, I get on and we record it and we finish it and we post it. So if I misspeak, if I say something wrong, and you've probably already heard something in this show today that I've said wrong, my apologies. Like I said, we got to run it like a live radio show like we used to. There is no editing. We don't go back and refilter and, oh, let's change what I said there and let's redo that. No, we don't do that. So if I misspeak, I'm an idiot. What can I say? My bad. Next up, Daily Dose. Love your top five every week. Why was Ben Simmons benched for academic reasons? He's the best player in the country. Go Tigers from Terra in Louisiana. And of course, go is G-E-A-U-X, the whole Cajun French thing. Go Tigers. LSU fan. All right. Why was Ben Simmons benched? If you aren't familiar with the story, LSU, College Hoops, they benched their best player, Ben Simmons, who they are talking about going to be the top pick in the NBA draft this coming year. Well, here's the thing that I think of when I hear that Ben Simmons was benched for, in quotation marks, academic reasons. That tells me Ben Simmons wasn't going to class, quite frankly. I mean, that's the first thing that jumps out at me. He obviously was skipping class. They bench him because they kind of have to, because otherwise they're looking at possibly getting themselves in trouble. Hey, you aren't making this guy attend class. Ben Simmons, best player in the country? Probably. But you can make a pretty good case. I've watched him now, I think, three times, and I do like a lot of what he does. I like a lot of what I see from him. He's a big kid. He's not a great shooter yet. That doesn't concern me. A lot of people get worried about that and say, well, he can't shoot it yet. Keep in mind the guys that weren't great shooters when they came out of school. Michael Jordan wasn't considered a great shooter when he came out of school. Magic Johnson couldn't shoot it when he came out of school. I don't worry nearly as much about that stuff. He can get to the basket. He can finish with either hand around the basket. He's a big, strong kid. The thing I worry about with Ben Simmons is he goes down to LSU. For one, Johnny Jones at LSU always seems like he has talent, never seems like he does anything with it. And I hate to bag on a coach, but I kind of wonder at some point. He seems like really good recruiter, doesn't quite know what to do with the talent once he gets it. LSU is sitting at 16-12. They are fifth in the SEC. Shouldn't, if you have the best player in the country, in a nation full of one and dones, shouldn't you be able to win more games than that? That's my concern right now with Ben Simmons. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact, can he play? I think he can play. I think he's a tough kid. For those who don't know his story, he's an Australian kid. He was used to playing Australian rules football. He doesn't mind the physicality of the sport. He likes going down and drawing contact. He's a big, strong kid. I love what he brings to the game. He's a great passer for his size. People are going to give you comparisons, maybe LeBron James, because he's a distributor, big kid, can play outside, can play inside, can do a lot of different things. It reminds me a little more of, do I say Jalen Rose? Jalen Rose, but let's be honest, Jalen had like an old grandpa's body. So Jalen with a better body, because Jalen, even at 17, looked like an old man. Like he wasn't athletic, he wasn't real smooth. He was a great player and he knew how to use his body. Ben Simmons reminds me a little bit of that. I guess that would be a closer comparison. Love his game. Would be concerned with why he hasn't gotten LSU to win more. Thank you, Tara in Louisiana, for the question, though. Yeah, I think he's skipping class. And so I think they did it so they didn't get themselves in trouble. At this point, LSU is just hoping like crazy to get into the tournament. And you know the NCAA is hoping to get him into the tournament because they want people to be able to see him and they want people to tune in. If it's close, and we haven't talked much college hoops just yet, if it's close, do you think they just put LSU in because they want everyone to see Ben Simmons? I got a feeling they're going to. If they're on the bubble, they're going in. They're not getting their bubble burst. LSU's going to get in there. Next question. Clint, who are the Broncos going to draft with their first pick? That is from Larry. Larry, you've been on the show. You don't have to send the... I mean, okay. Who are the Broncos going to draft? There's a couple different ways, and we will, as we get closer to the draft, we will look a lot more closely at some of the prospects that are out there. When I look at the Broncos right now, it all depends on what they do in free agency. Hearing that they are miles apart with Malik Jackson, he wants to be paid huge money. If he walks, maybe they're looking at defensive end or defensive tackle. They've got linebackers to sign. Brandon Marshall and Danny Trevathan are both unrestricted and restricted free agents. they might have to go linebacker. Offensive line, obviously the issues they had this past year with offensive line, and they don't have much depth on their offensive line, so they could go there. Tight end could be a spot that they look at, because Owen Daniels is... I'm probably a little bit faster than Owen Daniels. Vernon Davis seems to not be able to, you know, catch. And so, you know, you've got Virgil Green as really the only kind of younger tight end on that roster. Couple different ways they could go. I mean, they could go running back. They could go completely off the board and go running back. CJ Anderson is a restricted free agent. Ronnie Hillman is an unrestricted free agent, and I don't expect him to be back in a Denver uniform. Number of different ways they could go with the draft. As we get a little closer and as we get through free agency, we'll start looking at some of those teams. And for the record, keep this in mind. Last year, who did the Daily Dose say the Denver Broncos were going to pick with their first pick? That's right. Shane Ray. Nailed it. All right. Our final email for our email segment here. Clint, this is a long email. I'm going to, all right, I got to grab this one because this is like a long one. Clint, how can you cheer for the Denver Broncos? Tim Tebow won a playoff game for you guys in overtime versus the Steelers, and he would have won a Super Bowl against Seattle, but because he was a Christian, you guys kicked him out of your town. This is about spiritual principles. Spirituality begins with honesty. What? I am a Buffalo Bills fan, and in 2016, God will lead us to the promised land, and we will humiliate the Denver Broncos and their fans, kind of like the Israelites in the desert, if you catch my drift. So good luck. That is from Richard K. in New York. I don't know if I know what to say to that. There's so many directions to go with that email. Richard K., I'm sorry you feel that way. How can I cheer for the Denver Broncos? Well, I started cheering for the Denver Broncos when I was like, I don't know, 2. So that's been a long time ago. Okay, couple different things. Wow, there's so many ways to go with this. First off, Tim Tebow did win a playoff game. I'm a Tebow fan. I love the kid. I think he's a tough kid. We've talked about that on the show before. You had a chance to bring in Peyton Manning. You had a chance to bring in a guy that rewrote history. So I don't know that you can really blame Denver for doing that. I don't know if it had anything to do with his religious beliefs. I do think there is something... there is something there around the league as to why he hasn't gotten other tryouts, and that might have something to do with that. This is about spiritual principles. Spirituality begins with honesty. I don't know what that means. You're a Buffalo Bills fan, and in 2016, God will lead you to the promised land, and you'll humiliate the Broncos. Well, there's a couple problems with that. First off, the Broncos aren't scheduled to play the Bills, so I don't know how much humiliating you're going to do. And their fans, kind of like the Israelites in the desert, if you catch my drift. I don't know if I catch your drift. The Israelites wandered around, and from what I understand, they wandered around aimlessly in the desert for 40 years. Is that what you mean? The Bills have been wandering around in the desert for 40 years? I never knew there were so many Buffalo Bills fans. We have Raymond in Washington, D.C. Now we have Richard in New York. Yeah, I don't think I do catch your drift. Your drift is a little bit lost on me because that doesn't make any sense. And by the way, if you want to talk about quarterbacks getting bumped out for other quarterbacks, you dumped Doug Flutie for Rob Johnson. You want to talk about good guys getting bumped out? Doug Flutie was a gentleman and a scholar, and you bumped him for Rob Johnson. So get back to me about who you're knocking out. Talk to me about, get out of here with this nonsense. I don't want to hear it. Dude, hey, make sure you're staying on those meds. This is my biggest encouragement to you, Richard, in New York. Make sure you keep that medicine handy, and make sure your psychiatrist is on speed dial. Also, ease up a little bit. Settle down. You don't need to get quite that crazy. Hey, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top 5. Did you see the New Orleans Pelicans big man Anthony Davis on Sunday? The unibrow went for 59 points and 20 rebounds against the Detroit Pistons. Of course, the problem for Davis is that it seems like he's stuck on a horrible franchise. I don't know if I can ever see the Pelicans just really kind of coming around and becoming that strong franchise. I don't have much faith in that organization. I don't have much faith in the Pelicans. And it seems like we might see Anthony Davis just laboring for seasons and years and years. And they'll probably lock him up to a long-term deal when they get the chance, and he'll play, and he'll always be on this horrible team. And sure, someday he'll, you know, opt out and he'll go play for like the Celtics or go play for the Lakers, you know, and he's like almost 50 and he'll end up like, you know, getting into the playoffs or doing something like that. But in the meantime, it started to get me thinking about, you know, some of the great players in history that spent their whole career on horrible teams and spent their whole career on just teams that just couldn't ever win and just bad situations. There's a number of them. And in fact, it was kind of hard to whittle this list down. But right now, we are going to count down the Daily Dose top five best players stuck on bad teams. And like I said, there's a bunch of them. Number five on our list has got to be San Diego Padres outfielder Tony Gwynn. You know, Tony didn't look like an athlete at all. The dude was like 5'11", kind of chubby, wasn't very fast, didn't hit with very much power. But the thing about Tony Gwynn, he could hit. You want to talk about a guy with vision. You want to talk about a guy that just saw the ball. Tony Gwynn was one of the best pure hitters in the history of baseball. Dude had over 3,000 hits. He averaged .338 for his 20-year career. .338 over 20 years? I understand him getting .338 over 3 or 4 years. For 20 years? Unbelievable. The only problem was that Tony Gwynn was stuck playing for the San Diego Padres for all 20 of those years. And the Padres, in 20 of his years, had just 8 winning seasons. They did get to the World Series twice, believe it or not. In 1998, they got there and got swept by the New York Yankees. In 1984, they got there and lost 4-1 to the Detroit Tigers. I mean, they only even qualified for the postseason 3 times in Gwynn's career. Phenomenal career, phenomenal player, just stuck in a bad situation and unable to, you know, get out of that. And he was a guy that he wanted to play with the same team for his whole career. Ton of credit to Tony Gwynn. Just stuck on a bad franchise. Number four on our list. Number four has got to be Pete Maravich. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Pete Maravich, there's a number of books out there. There's a couple bad movies out there about Pete Maravich. Pete Maravich. Pistol Pete was ahead of his time. If you go back and you watch the film, and it's kind of weird looking, but he kind of played like Steph Curry, but like back in the 60s and 70s. But he kind of had that flair to his game. I mean, there was no pass too crazy. You want the behind the back flip over his neck pass, he would do it. You wanted the crazy fake one way, go the other way and finger roll in, he would do it. Think about this. Pete Maravich, while he was at LSU for 3 seasons, averaged 44 points per game. Averaged 44 points a game. He ended up going to the Atlanta Hawks in the NBA. As an NBA player, a player that wanted to keep his teammates involved so he could try to win, he still averaged 31 points per game in 76 and 77. Now, here's the other thing to keep in mind. They didn't have a three-point line at LSU. They didn't have a three-point line in the NBA at this time. That's how many points he was scoring. In his 10 seasons in the NBA, he averaged over 24 points a game and over 5 assists a game. But Pete Maravich only went to the postseason 4 times. And the only time his team ever won a playoff series was in his final season when he actually changed. Like I said about Anthony Davis, he finally left Atlanta, joined up with Boston. By this time, he was old. He had bad knees. He was barely playing. His body had just broken down on him. He kind of had that bad afro going. He kind of looked like Jackie Moon in semi-pro by this point. And he got in with Boston. They won one playoff series, and then they got knocked out in the next round. Pete Maravich just stuck on bad teams his entire career. Number three on our list, best teams stuck on bad teams, or best players stuck on bad teams, gotta be the Detroit Lions' Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders is one of the greatest running backs to ever play the game. Dude was absolutely electric when he touched the ball. You know, I saw Barry Sanders for the first time probably in about 1988. Oklahoma State came to play the University of Colorado, and Barry Sanders dropped about 175 yards, and I want to say he put up four touchdowns that day. You know, the year before, in 1987, Oklahoma State had Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas was the starter. Barry Sanders was the backup. Thurman Thomas was older, so he was the starter. And I may have told the story before. When Oklahoma State played OU that year, head coach for Oklahoma, Barry Switzer, told his players on Oklahoma, whatever you do, do not hurt Thurman Thomas, because the guy behind him is way scarier. In his 10-year career, Barry Sanders had over 15,000 rushing yards. He had 99 rushing touchdowns. Made it to the playoffs with the Lions just five times, and only won one game. In 1991, the Detroit Lions beat the Dallas Cowboys in the divisional round. They went on to the NFC Championship and lost to the Washington Redskins. Barry Sanders was just stuck on bad teams. And I have to think that when the time came, body was starting to break down, Barry just said, you know what, we're not going to win anyways. Time for me to get out. Time for me to step down. And he stepped out and retired a little bit earlier than I think we all thought he would. And I think it was because he was stuck on bad teams his whole career. Barry Sanders has to be on that list. Number two, this is one of the guys that it's all kind of named for. When you think of great players stuck on bad teams, you usually think of Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks played 19 seasons with the Chicago Cubs, hit 512 home runs, but he's the only player in Major League Baseball history to have over 500 home runs and never once play in the postseason. In 19 seasons, the Chicago Cubs had just six seasons that they even had a winning record. Now, in 1969, the Cubs are kind of rolling along. They are up nine games on August 16th. By September 10th, the Mets had passed them, and the Cubs would end up finishing eight games back, and Mr. Cub missed the postseason again. Ernie Banks, just a guy, good player, just stuck on bad teams his whole career. Number one on our list. Now, you might know this guy, you know, for being the father of Peyton and Eli. But Archie Manning, when he came out of Ole Miss, this was a guy that was kind of a can't-miss quarterback. He comes out in 1971. He was drafted by the New Orleans Saints. The problem was, these weren't the Saints that you might think of even now. Like, you think of the Saints now, and you're like, eh, they're okay. They're not great. No, these were the Saints where everybody called them the Aints. Nobody went to the games. They would go seasons sometimes with just trying to win a single game. They were the worst-run franchise in the NFL. And Archie Manning got stuck in the middle of that whole mess. Now, the thing about Manning was, in his 13-year career, he still had pretty decent numbers for being on such a horrible team. He threw for 125 touchdowns. He led the league in completions in 1972. He was elected to the Pro Bowl two times, playing on teams sometimes that won two or three games in their entire season. But, you know, his career record as a starter with New Orleans, 35-101-3. And the best season that Archie Manning ever had was when he got the Saints to go 8-8 in 1979. Archie Manning just stuck on a horrible franchise. You know, he was traded to Houston in 1982, and he actually played eight games with the Oilers. Here's something to think about. His backup was a quarterback named Oliver Luck. Fast forward 28 years, and it was Archie's son Peyton sitting out with a hurt neck behind Oliver Luck's son, Andrew, who is starting for the Indianapolis Colts. Hey, next week, you know the Oscars are on Sunday night. We just might have to talk a little bit about some sports movies. Plus, the NBA, got to talk a little bit of college hoops. You know, March Madness is coming. We will start talking some more and more college hoops and get you ready for March Madness. And as we do every single week, of course, we will have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that's going to go. Hey, if you get a chance, wherever you download the podcast, wherever you subscribe to the podcast, please head over and just give us a quick rating. Give us like a 5-star rating and just a quick review. Doesn't have to be anything big. Love the podcast. That's good enough. Just something to get us a few more views. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I appreciate you all listening. Have a great week, everybody.